Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Today's show is about little kids and babies. The Liberal government promised a $10 a day childcare within 5 years across the country. Come March 31st, it will hit that milestone. The Canada-wide Early Learning and Child Care Program will fall short of its goal to create nearly 300,000 spaces. The program was a partnership between the federal government and the provinces. The Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives released a report last month saying the program will not meet its targets nationwide. Estimates show that the provinces have only created 200,000 spaces. The majority of those spaces in Ontario were created by for-profit childcare centers. All of these charge more than $10 a day. It is nonprofit centers that are most likely to meet the more affordable goal. YMCA Executive Director Eunice Kirkpatrick confirmed Northumberland County is on track to meet its goals of adding new licensed spaces by the end of 2026, but wait lists remain high. The YMCA is one of the largest providers of childcare in the county. In this interview, Kirkpatrick will explain what is taking place and what still needs to be done to meet local demands for high quality, low fees, and more nonprofit spaces. I'm so pleased to have with me today YMCA Executive Director Eunice Kirkpatrick. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you, Rob. Happy to be here and provide an update on our licensed childcare program.
By March 31st, the provinces are supposed to reach a series of federal goals under the nationally funded daycare program, which is supposed to bring childcare fees down to $10 a day and create more affordable spaces. A simple yes or no question. Are we going to hit that target in Northumberland County?
No. We are not going to hit that target by the deadline that's been suggested.
Will the province?
The province won't meet that target either of the $10 a day.
Why is that? Why locally have we not hit that target?
So it's throughout the province. They're not going to hit that target. The main reason is the funding. We need more funding. Ontario, I can speak for Ontario, is looking at a $2 billion shortfall in order for the program to be fully implemented and to meet their targets of 86,000 spaces within the province. And the funding, Ontario is negotiating with the federal government on the funding. Ontario has also signed for another year extension, so we have the contract for CWELC, which is the Canada-wide Early Learning Childcare Program, until the end of December of this year.
What is the situation then in Northumberland? Why are we not going to meet that target locally?
We're not going to meet the target locally because, again, it comes down to the funding. But what we have done since this was implemented in 2021, so we're at the five-year mark, it was probably a very ambitious timeline for the rollout of this program by the Liberal government, the federal government at the time. However, in the 5 years, we have made significant progress in the fees. Our fees here at the YMCA and across Northumberland are anywhere from $12 to $22, depending on the service that a parent or family is choosing to have. So that could be like a before school, after school, full day, or a combination of the before and after. Infant care is a little more expensive. So in the 5 years, we've actually realized a reduction of about 52% in fees. So we are making good progress. We're not there yet.
How many local spaces are there that would qualify or where you're close to the target of $10 a day?
Well, I don't have the exact number, but any child up to the age of five would qualify for the CWELC. And so over six, so kids in the before and after school program who are six and over do not qualify. And there was the intention at some point that at some point they would be included in the qualification. Again, it really comes down to the funding and the negotiations between the provinces and the federal government.
There's been a lot of talk about why we can't get there. And when you're explaining this, can you explain how the system works in such a way that not every parent can get $10 a day daycare in Northumberland County? Why is that?
Well, again, it really comes down to not enough money has been provided for the full implementation of the program. So the funding that we do have has helped us reduce the fees, but we also need funding not just to reduce the fees, but also for compensation. We need additional infrastructure funding for increased spaces throughout the province and all provinces. And so it's quite complex, and it really comes down to if we can get a negotiation with the federal government, more money starts to flow, we can meet that target of $10 a day. I think also there's the challenge because this was implemented by a Liberal government, and there is some anxiety. I think, is the Conservative government going to go down the same path and commit to the vision that the Liberals came out with in 2021? So there's hesitation, I think, from some of the provinces, and hence the reason why Ontario's only signed up on for one more year and not beyond that, because we want to see how this is going to work.
There is a distinction made in all of this between nonprofit and for-profit. There's been studies done that show that the nonprofit sector has not grown in the same way that the for-profit sector has. Can you tell us, is the YMCA considered a nonprofit or a for-profit operation?
The YMCA is considered a non-for-profit operation. So we signed on for CWELC, but there's stringent guidelines under CWELC that we have to follow. This program is really going to a cost-based recovery, which is really a government program, essentially. And it's the challenges we're facing as a non-for-profit, because of the stringent guidelines that are put in place. It is ca causing additional additional administration burden for non-for-profits, which was one of the pieces they agreed to not have happen, but we see that happening. So, for example, one of my colleagues in another Y in Ontario, they deal with seven municipalities, and there is the potential requirement for seven individual audits to be done, independent of the association audit. So when you add in that those layers of complexity and administration on top of what we're currently trying to do, there's a cost to that as well. So we're doing some advocacy at the Y Ontario level around not only the administration burden and how can we work together with the federal government to alleviate some of that administration, but also to look at the funding formula, because not all the system service managers are interpreting the formula in the same way. So a system service manager is the person who manages it at the municipal level or county level, but there's very varied interpretations of the funding formula that we're up against as well. So we're asking the government to review that as to for more consistency across the province.
When you listen to all this, it sounds deeply confusing and a lot of paperwork. Is that part of the issue, the confusion and reporting?
We're very clear in our reporting with our county, but we need consistency with the application of it, and that's That's what we're advocating for, because that would definitely relieve some of the onerous tasks that we're being asked to do potentially. The cost of audits, the cost of, filing reports, additional reports, and that takes away from the delivery of service. When you have to have funding to support all of that, then you're not. That cuts into how many spaces can you actually offer within your communities, and it does have an impact. And so we are working hard. And this was new. Nobody really had a playbook for any of this with the $10 a day.
The Center for Policy Alternatives released a report last month that said nearly 60% of the spaces created across the country were in the for-profit sector, and just over a quarter of the new spaces were for nonprofit. Now, you've explained some of that, but the provinces have agreed to create nearly 300,000 spaces, and yet, so far, according to the report again, only 200,000 were created. And most of these were not even within the federal program. When you are looking at Northumberland, can you tell us how many spaces have been created during this 5-year period, and where have they been created, and how are they meeting the need?
So I can speak for the YMCA. The county did have a mandate to create a certain number of spaces, and they, by the end of this year, they will have met that mandate. For YMCA Northumberland, we created an additional 110 spaces, and the focus was really on rural areas. So we opened a centre in Warkworth with 48 spaces. We've just opened another centre at Canton Municipal Building, which we renovated, and there's 48 spaces there. And the east end of Coburg, where we have a family grouping of 15. So 110, and I know there's other childcare providers the county has worked with as well to open additional centres throughout our county. So I believe there's one more centre that they're looking to open. And again, based on government funding that has flown down to the county, and they intend to have that up and going by the end of this year.
Well, while Northumberland County is on track to meet its goal of adding 245 new licensed spaces by the end of this year, the wait lists remain high. Can you tell us why that is and what can be done?
Sure. So I think the last time we talked, Rob, we were talking about the wait lists, about 3,000 within the county. What this last year and ongoing, we've been doing some great work with the county and all the providers, where we're creating a master list of waiting lists. And what we're discovering through that is many families are listed with multiple providers. So we're paring that down. And then also, a lot of families are putting their kids on the waiting list for future dates. So maybe a year from now, a year and a half from now. And with the CWELP program, it's the here and now, it's the immediate need. And so when we kind of disseminate all of that, the waiting list, I anticipate, is not going to be as dire as what we were talking about in the past. Not to say there aren't waiting lists, that they still do exist. But some of the challenges we face is where we have licensed capacity, maybe in a rural school, there's not the need for the children. So, for example, if the Hastings Public School, we may have another classroom that's fully licensed for 30 kids, but there's not the need. We already have one classroom for 30 kids and we have 15 registered. So there's not the need there. Where we look at Coburg and we look at maybe Port Hope, Beatrice Strong is a good example. We have before and after license for 60 kids and we have a waiting list there, but we don't have additional license space in that school. So it's there's some challenges we have to work through as operators as well to ensure that we meet the need. The other challenge is, even if we have this if we have the need, we may not have the staff. So that comes down to the workforce challenge.
As you go through these lists, are you noticing any trends or any particular demands or demographics that might be significant to help you get a clearer picture of the needs within the community?
Yeah, I believe the before and after is definitely a challenge, because those kids, they have to have that service at the school they attend. So if we can't provide that space, that is a challenge for parents. And then the other piece is we are seeing an influx of newcomers who are moving from Toronto, from other areas to our community. And we need to keep up with that demand as well, even for infant care, toddler, preschool, full day. So these are some of the pieces that we keep our eye on and make sure that we can try and fill the need.
In the report, one of the big problems is finding local daycare centers. Are parents in Northumberland County able to find childcare near them, or are they having to travel?
Some are lucky and can find childcare close by, but parents will travel upwards of 30 minutes, 45 minutes for childcare. So if we can, that was one of the reasons we really wanted to reach out to the rural areas for childcare, because that helps with that travel period at the beginning and end of the day. So we are looking at it geographically as well, because these are the underserved areas in our communities. And people have been very responsive to, especially the Canton and Warkworth sites. We're doing well. We still have some spaces available, but we are doing well.
At the YMCA, are the parents local, or how far are some of them traveling to use your services?
At the they're potentially within Northumberland County. We may have a few outside, more for the rural areas. So we serve a lot of right far north of Campbellford, and we have the Hastings site, the Warkworth, excuse me, North Hills, but primarily people are within Northumberland County.
When you look at the broader picture, is the province meeting the needs of parents outside of urban areas like Toronto and other big cities? When you talk to parents, what do they tell you?
I don't think currently we're meeting the need, overall. Certainly within our YMCA circles, I hear that the need is there's still a significant need for childcare. And again, the challenges, excuse me, the challenges of the workforce also impacts that as well. So if we have the space, we may not have the qualified staff to be able to provide the service or expand the service.
Can you give us some of the examples of what parents are saying to you? Can you share with us what it is exactly that parents are saying they need or they want?
Well, they certainly affordable, accessible, and high quality licensed care. That's always been our mandate, and we won't compromise. Going into Seawell, we wanted to make sure that the funding was going to be sufficient in order not to compromise on any of these areas. And I think also just geographically, parents don't really want to travel too far to drop off their children. We don't do home licensed childcare in our Y here in Northumberland, but that also is another benefit if some providers do provide that, which again is really good for the rural areas. But children want that level of security and safety for their kids. And when a child comes into our care, if they're an infant, they progress through. So they don't have to reapply for a toddler space or a preschool space or before and after. So we commit that we see them through the continuum of that care and until they're 12, if they choose to. Yeah.
How big a role does informal or unlicensed care play in Northumberland County?
Unlicensed care. I can't really speak to that too much. I know that still exists, that people will continue to offer care in the unlicensed setting. There's significant risk to that. So through Seawell, people can become licensed. Again, there's the licensing rules that do apply for that. Where they have to limit the number of children, they're restricted to the fees that are charged. But Yeah, I don't know too much about the unlicensed in our community.
I'd like to go back to funding for just a moment and
Sure.
ask you about the county. I understand they also offer fee subsidies to parents. And I'm just wondering, is this an effective tool that's helping parents locally get their daycare costs down?
Absolutely, yes. We do have a number of families, even with the reduced fees, still do access the subsidy at the county, not only in our licensed childcare, but in our camp program as well, is available. And it makes a huge difference to families because, and it breaks down that barrier of access. So affordable, accessible, is important.
The report also stated that the Ontario government does not force centres to be part of the federal system. Is this problematic?
Again, I don't know how impactful that is. The option is out there for people to not be part of the CWELC program. And as you mentioned, it's the for-profits that are moving way ahead. There's fewer restrictions. They don't have to, they can charge what fee they want to charge. They can compensate how they want to compensate. They probably have easier access to loans for capital renovations. So there's definitely advantages to that. And there's also the disadvantages, where again, lower pay may be compromised on high quality. So that's another stream, but they are moving ahead and they're streets ahead of the non-for-profit and the, yeah.
You mentioned this earlier, and I'd like to follow up on it. And is I understand that one of the barriers is that the province makes centers disclose finances and limits their profits. And I'm wondering if that's really been a problem for getting for-profit to change over, because we've talked about the problems of the additional paperwork and the accountability. But is there a way out of this?
Yeah, that's, I would say, yeah, there's definitely restrictions. We're pre-CWELC. When we were running our program, any contribution was our contribution. Now we're going to more a cost-based recovery. The contributions of the program are nowhere near what they used to be because we would reinvest that money back into our programs. So that's definitely been, that's a switch in our business model. But and it really also is another piece around the funding formula. We need to have the funding formula that makes it work for us. And there's not clawbacks on sites that where there's maybe an overage or an underage, so that's all part of the advocacy around the funding formula. But I think if a for-profit is doing well and they can keep their contribution, then they can keep their contribution. That's, but again, what's compromised in the program?
Do you feel the Ontario government has its heart in this program? Is this a priority for them or not?
I do believe they do. There is that need. And when you look at the whole premise of this rollout was to ensure to give opportunity for other partners to work in the same household. So that was going to create the tax base that was going to help pay for this program. So we need people to be out there working to create that tax base. This again was to offset that. So I do feel they have their heart in moving this forward, and it's a great, we're very supportive of it from a Y perspective. But they're hesitant to renew the agreement be too far in the future until the funding, the amount of funding is reconciled or agreed upon. And because we need to make this work. And they're looking for the federal government to support this in a significant way versus the province, picking up the bill for the difference and the gap.
You've spoken about this quite a bit in the past and also in our conversation today, and that is staffing.
Yes.
It remains an issue. What has changed, if anything, between when we've talked before and now in terms of your ability to find good staffing and to stabilize that aspect of this?
Well, it's still a challenge, to find qualified ECEs. But since we last spoke, we've definitely done a lot of internal work here at the Y. We've through our restructuring, because we have 25 centres, we have a dedicated staff who's amazing that does the hiring and the retentions work and the training. We have a couple of staff that help out with that. We've also reevaluated our compensation package, and we have. We work within the guidelines of what we can pay ECEs, but there's still a gap between a licensed childcare ECE and an ECE in the school board, and that needs to close, because if they're both cost-based recovery government programs, why the inequity? So we've done a lot of work around that. The other piece that we've done, I mentioned the restructuring. So that with all of that, the hiring has definitely slowed down, and we're seeing there's more engagement, a higher level of engagement with our staff. And but it's we need more ECEs, qualified ECEs.
How would you describe the past 5 years of the program in terms of its effectiveness?
The effectiveness, I think, especially for the parents, we hear loud and clear from parents that this is so much more affordable for us. And even although we're still at the 50% mark, it is more affordable. And I've listened to a couple of those podcasts as well, and some parents even question, do I have a second child because of the cost of childcare? So it's really for the benefit of our families and our children. We've not compromised on any of our the quality of our program. We go by the health guidelines for nutritional meals as well. So we're still in where we were pre-CWELC, but I think the benefit to our families, this was the whole purpose of bringing this to the forefront.
When we get closer to the deadline, no doubt many provinces and governments will be sending out press releases saying that they met targets. Yet parents are finding a different reality. As we go forward, what steps must the federal and provincial governments take to meet the demand for high-quality, low-fee, nonprofit spaces?
I think working together, all provinces need to work together with the federal government and work out, like, what's the reality of running this program? Let's, again, in the beginning, and I think I spoke about this before, did we really understand how much this was going to cost when it all rolled out? And for the premiers to really engage with the federal government and work together on this, because this is for the benefit of Canada as a whole. And just last week, we did the CEOs of Y Ontario had a meeting with Minister Calandra, and we talked about just again the funding formula. We talked about the onerous burden of administration, but he also did express that he's in negotiations with the federal government, and things are going positively if in those negotiations. So I feel that the government really wants to make this happen, but there has to be equity and fairness in the funding and who's funding what parts of the program, because it will benefit in the end if we have more people out in the workforce and bringing in more tax base for the government to fund other programs.
If there are parents that have listened to our conversation today and they're desperate looking for our spaces, what would you say to them? What do you want to say to them?
I would say give us a call, give the YMCA a call or any of the providers, other childcare providers in your area. And they may have done this, or I'm 100% sure they've done that already, but just to see, where we can go, if we can accommodate them. If not, advocacy is good as well from the parental standpoint. Hearing from the parents, the government hearing from the parents directly as well, on the need and the frustrations, because there are frustrations out there. I deal with them as well, where someone is on a waiting list, has been for a year or two. Again, we, like I mentioned earlier, we have capacity in some areas, but we don't have the license capacity in others. So how can we work together? And I think another partner, which is key, is the school boards. You know, how can we work closer with the school boards to look at spaces and maybe increase space where needed? And because it's going to take all of us to come together, and all partners and community partners to make this work the way we want it to work.
I appreciate all of that and more, but I guess if you're a parent and you're listening, this might be cold comfort in terms of, you know, when is this system going to flip over and it's going to start working? What do you predict going forward?
That's I don't have the crystal ball, but I would say we've been 5 years. You know, when I read some of the articles that have come out in this, it was an ambitious timeline, the 5 years. You know, should it have been 10 years for this to fully be implemented? And I would love to see in 10 years that this is fully implemented. We have no waiting lists in an ideal world, and there is that funding available to address some of the challenges that we have experienced, as in the fee subsidy, the compensation piece, and infrastructure funding that we need to build more childcare centres. So it could be that 10-year timeline, but I'd like to think it's maybe not that far away.
So in the remaining months coming up to the end of the year, what plans does the YMCA have in place? What should we be looking for in these days and weeks?
For childcare expansion, so what we are working on right now, we don't have any other infrastructure projects. We did three in the last 2 years, and there is one more provider the county is working with on one more expansion project to meet the mandate of Northumberland County. But what we are looking at is our existing programs, the before and after school programs, where the pressure points are for waiting lists, and really focusing on how can we expand those programs, whether it's we need to license more space and recruit more staff. But that's our mandate and plan over this next year and onward to make sure we can accommodate who is in need of licensed care.
Eunice Kirkpatrick, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Rob.
That was Eunice Kirkpatrick, Executive Director of Northumberland YMCA. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.